Welcome to the Enneagram 2.0 podcast. I'm Beatrice Chestnut.
And I'm Udonyo Pais.
And today we are in China. We're in Shanghai talking to our good friend and colleague, Teacher Gao, who is the head of the Diamond Enneagram School. And we're going to talk all about him and his work. And we also have our amazing translator with us, Catherine, because although Teacher Gao speaks English, we thought it would be better for him to flow, for him to be able to speak Chinese. So thank you for being with us, Teacher Gao.
Gao Dao, ni hao, shi xie.
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
Hello.
We love being here in China because you do such a great work with your students, and the students get you as really prepared, ready for deep work. So we are very pleased to be here.
Yes, and we want to share with our listeners a little bit about you, maybe what your type is, what you do generally, and what you're doing here in the Diamond Enneagram School. But first, I thought I'd explain a little bit to our listeners what we're doing here, which is we partnered with Teacher Gao and his partner Alex, who run the Diamond Enneagram School, because they do a lot of teaching about the Enneagram and other personal growth methods. But we come in once or twice a year and have the great pleasure of working with their students in doing a bit of an advanced retreat experience, similar to the ones that we offer in the United States and London and Brazil and other places around the world. But let's talk about Teacher Gao. So tell us a little bit about how you came to the Enneagram and what your approach is to teaching the Enneagram at the Diamond Enneagram School.
所以有请高导哈，我们非常的荣幸来跟您合作做。因为我在18年前，我那个时候在创业。So
before I got to know Enneagram, it was a kind of a magic experience. So back in 18 years ago, I was working as a production engineer in this startup company in Wuhan City in China. And later I started my own company and business. So while I was running my business and company, managing the team, I found some difficulties. So then I tried to learn some managerial skills and methodologies, and then I found at the end of managerial, it's more psychology. So then I dive into the realm of psychology, and then I one day found Enneagram and start learning. After just 3 years of this startup company by myself, I was already by the third year elected as the top 10 best entrepreneurs locally. And I attribute this success to Enneagram. So since then, I started to very excitedly expressing, sharing, spreading Enneagram to lots of the different groups of people, including entrepreneurs, business owners, government officials, about Enneagram and how to apply Enneagram in team management and interpersonal communication specifically. So it's an Enneagram application in business and commercial world.
In the beginning, then it grew in different areas of life.
So what happened then after you were using it in business? Then how did you go from there and evolve into doing mostly Enneagram in your own school?
Yes, so one day, a question suddenly came to me and I asked myself, what's the meaning of my life? And then that was when I was 26 years old.
Wow, only 26, yeah.
So up until then, I was mainly applying Enneagram in the business. But later on, when I think deeply into this question, what's the meaning of my life, I realized that previously my company is a technology company and selling tech products to provide some convenience to people's life. But while I was sharing and expressing about Enneagram, I found they don't just pick up all those techniques and skills about knowing people, get better at team management, synergy. But more is like they start to understand the differences between people. They start to look inside and know about themselves on a deeper level. And when I share Enneagram, I really found they gain the self-realization and deeper fulfillment and happiness. That's more meaningful. So I sold my tech company and became an Enneagram teacher. So later on, as you know, I came to EPTP and I found and studied with Peter, Monica, Helen Palma for Peter's program. I think I studied with him more than 40 days.
Just to explain, EPTP is the Palmer Daniels training in the U.S. Helen Palmer and David Daniels, and Helen Palmer used to come to China regularly, and Peter O'Hanrahan, our friend, also would come here, and teacher Gao got involved all of that.
And the EPTP stands for the Enneagram Professional Training Program, which used to be, and I think maybe still is, their kind of core program of training people in the Enneagram and also how to teach the Enneagram. And so it's interesting that we have that in common, because Uranio and I also had our first training with the Helen Palmer, David Daniels School, and Peter O'Hanrahan is one of our good friends. And so interesting that we have similar roots in that case.
In Chinese words, we call that a good karma.
Yes.
And then your school started growing right away. And then we met once in Guangzhou.
At a conference.
Beijing.
Guangzhou.
I think it was Guangzhou first.
Yes. Helen Palmer came to a conference that they put on in China in Guangzhou, and she had asked me, can you ask Uranio if he'll come speak in China, because we're looking for a speaker and we want a male speaker. And so Uranio was available and he came and he gave a talk and it was very successful. And that's where you two met, right? Is that how it went?
Yeah. And then 2 years later, we were partnering, I think, already. And teacher Gao is based in Shanghai. But his school was getting more and more successful already before us, and it is successful independently of us, of course.
Right.
I have some interesting stories to share about that.
Right, but I want to know, you know, it's really obvious what a good job you're doing in your school and how you're teaching the Enneagram in really a great way. Can you tell us a little bit about why you think the way you're teaching the Enneagram at the Diamond Enneagram School has worked so well, has allowed you to be successful in spreading the Enneagram in such a good way and doing really deep work with people?
So I think first is it's conceptual, like a theoretical, and the second is more practical. So these two main sides. I recall there's a great Zen master in China's history. When he got total enlightenment, he just came to the realization, and then he cited this poem, like, every one of us is originally a bright pearl, and we got imprisoned and locked for so long, until one day we got undusted and then awakened. Then our brightness of the inner light just pierced through into all of the world. So here we call it a Diamond Enneagram School. And diamond actually in China echoes a lot with like the bright pearl, the bright jewelry that represents the inner brightness of a human being, of our true nature. So this is very important and fundamental.
Beautiful.
Yes, it's like providing a place where people can get in touch with their inner light and allow it to shine.
And we are witnesses to how much that's true, Diamond Enneagram students walk the talk, and everybody on the team, and they have a very big team because they've become big. How many people work at Diamond Enneagram School today?
So on the operational, now we have 30 more staff.
And then many teachers.
More than 10 teachers.
Yes. And then you have already qualified so many mentors also. in your program, and they are integrated in the program. They help manage the ongoing groups that exist. It's not only courses, but it's a permanent self-development scheme. It's so beautiful, so well structured.
We actually have two systems, one online, one offline in person. So for the online system, we provide programs that's very to the central concerns of the ordinary people and their daily life, including topics and key issues on their marriage, parenting, career, or business management. And the programs we provide is very tailor-made and answering their key confusions and challenges, but also with a very reasonable price, like less than 100 to less than 1,000. So now we already spread to and supported millions of Chinese people online.
Wow, millions of people online in your online courses.
And it's always connected back to inner growth.
Yeah.
Everything touches inner growth, but it may have different applications in people's lives.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I don't think anyone else in the world has been spreading the Enneagram to as many people. And I want to tell a story that we witnessed. We were teaching here, and we were having the pleasure of your company for dinners every night. And then once you said, oh, I can't have dinner with you tonight, because I have to do some teaching, online teaching. But I may catch up with you in an hour, right? And then we were having dinner, you came back, and I said, oh, welcome back. How was the teaching? And you said, oh, very good. And how many people did you have? I had 150,000 people in the online teaching I was doing. And for us, it's like, what? Right? So this is China, and I just want to say to our listeners of the podcast that while the Enneagram is growing in a huge way everywhere, I think that China has this extra hunger for things like the Enneagram. Chinese people are so interested. And then many people are interested in those beginning programs, but then what we see in your students is that they are so ready because you do such a good job already.
And maybe the question we could pose is, how do you see the Enneagram's popularity in China? How popular is it? Why do you think it's so popular? And how is it received generally?
Well, actually, in China, MBTI is way more popular than Enneagram
for now.
Maybe several tens times of the... Everyone can run a very simple test and come to know what's their MBTI type, whereas Enneagram not so simple testing. So the way I support to make Enneagram popular here is with one secret, which is for the online programs, I never mention like type 8, leader's type, or, you know, the dominant type. I only mention, you know, because nobody gets to know, like, what do you mean by type 8, like, before they know anyone. Then I just put it into more simpler and more behavioral, observable, and more easy to understand, and put in this, like, a scenario setting, like, do you know anyone around you that is a bit bossy or dominant or leader style, and then very big temper. So I remember once I had a sharing on how to know how to communicate well with a very big tempered person. Then that one, I think 300,000 people came online to that program.
A lot of people want to know how to communicate better with AIDS.
But also upon which or within the sharing, I also share about what's the formation of such kind of personality pattern type of an AIDS, right? So then we know also what's their trigger, what's their inner focus or concerns. So then it brings more understanding so as to communicate them more effectively. So the communication is the end result that a lot of people want, but it's the real understanding of that person and their personality that Enneagram brings and helps.
Right. More precise understanding of different kinds of people that help people in practical ways. So I think some in our audience are probably wondering what type you are. Would you mind sharing about your type and maybe your subtype and how you came to find your type?
那我想我们的很多受众可能也很好奇您的型号哈，您的主型和副型，所以您可不可以跟我们讲讲您的探索哈，了解的一个过程？
我是 Preservation 3.
Yes, so self-press 3, yes.
Self-preservation 3.
Okay, self-preservation 3.
How did you find your type?
找到我是三号，我花了两年。
It took me 2 years to find out I'm a 3.
在最早期学九型人格的时候。
So at the early stage of my learning Enneagram, I had explored maybe I'm a 5 because my thinking is being very rational, and then maybe 6 because I pay attention to the safety and also attending to details. But the first time I took an EPTP program, I knew I'm a 3 because I'm a heart type. Then I found a lot of my behaviors and quite some hidden images are motivated by to become a better, more excellent, and also desire for success.
但是我找到我的父亲就花了很长的时间。
But it took me a long time to find out my subtype.
直到第一次上毕老师的课。
Up until the first time I took Teacher B's program.
因为我长期会怀疑我是 self-preservation 还是 social.
Because for a long time I was doubting between whether I'm a self-press 3 or more social 3. For quite some time, I was guessing maybe I'm a more social 3 because I'm very good with groups and I can enjoy myself very much when I teach to, you know, 100,000 people, millions of people. I also kind of guess I might be a self-press 3 because I'm also grounded and practical and very serious, hardworking, doing things.
而且大多数时候我显得很谦卑，显得很谦虚，然后不断的学习和上进。
And most of the time, I am showing very humble and like low-key humility and keep learning. Until the first time I listened to Teacher Beatrice's program, who got to differentiate the self-press 3 and the social 3, then I found at least 7 of the items I am more fitting the self-press 3 and different from social 3. And it was the first time I got to know that self-press 3 is actually the counter 3, as we know that we have the counter subtype for each type, so the self-press 3 has the inner like twisted and torn and so the push and pull between, on one hand, I desire for success, but I'm also afraid I might not get the success or be successful enough, is motivating, driven me to keep progressing and perfecting. So on one hand, it brings me like a constant learning, improving and success, but on the other hand, also give me a lot of stress. So I am very grateful to both Teacher B for helping me to find out my correct subtype, and also thank you to Ulanio to share with me the self-relaxation practices. So after I practice them, I finally get to, you know, relieve and relax myself more to find this inner ease and comfort and peace. So I really reached a more balanced inner peacefulness and state that I can both running my business well and teaching, supporting many people. On the other hand, I'm also enjoying very good physical, personal health and a good relation with my family. And thank you for bringing such healing and growth in me, so that I am growing with my also personalities and inner balance and peacefulness, that I can really bring out the best self and then into the world, to especially the sincerity of type 3 that attract just the right business partners and teachers, trainers, mentors and all the students. So then we got to grow this academy and the business and support more and more people, but also in a very balanced way, and everybody just recognize me as the leader. May I share a little bit about my inner growth?
Please.
Work.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
这第一个部分就是去随时的觉察到那个虚荣，就内在的自我欺骗和真诚的部分，就是整合到真诚的那个点上。
So I can any moment, anytime to be aware of my inner vanity and also my self-conceit, to integrate deceit into the sincerity, veracity.
然后我发展了
And I developed my two wings. So on one hand, developing and integrating the wing of four, of the authenticity, being honest to other people and the true feelings, and also developing the wing two, to get along and relate to other people more, to be helpful and beneficial to other people more. And this is not natural for a three, to be honest. It's what I call developed or learned belief, that anyone that approached me, I'm gonna be good to them, I'm gonna benefit them and bring them happiness.
And also, I get to integrate
with the point 6 and 9. So on one hand, I adopted and integrated the type 6
cautiousness
and be more down to earth to really let the actions speak louder than the words, versus the three sometimes we might speak big words, and then it becomes hollow and a big vision.
Then leaving myself actually a big stress,
but then the six helps me to be more practical and action more to live up to the image and the standards, and not just hollow words. And then the nine is the way, now doing less doing versus three, and so that I can relax and attract and trust more of my business partners and other trainers to do more. So as a self-pastry, I could have just all on myself, by myself, but then I think of my horizon got opened up and enlarged, broadened by the type 9. So having more alliances of all the business partners and the ecosystem.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I love the Chinese concept of wu wei, which loosely translates to effortless effort. And I've never heard a better description of how three can integrate nine for effortless effort and working with others more harmoniously. That's beautiful.
And another beautiful saying from the Tao Te Ching that Chi Ga just quoted is, the type nine is very representing the shang shan ruo shui, which is the ultimate virtuous virtue is like water. It's flowing like water. So I try to also be like that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Flow, so important. And I think Teacher Gao drinks from very old and wise traditions from China, like the Tao, Zen, and Confucius, and many others. And he also teaches that, not only the Enneagram. But let me say something I really admire in you, and that is that you make yourself vulnerable also in front of the students. And that is very brave, especially because in China, all the students look up to the teacher. And that models something that then the students allow themselves to do. And we always see in your students that they are so open emotionally, so available to do emotional work. So how does this feel for you to be vulnerable in front of the students?
So this is both, you know, partially because of the reminder of Enneagram system and also my inner understanding of Chinese wisdom traditions, like you mentioned, the Tao, the Zen, the Confucius. So I read into a lot of the ancient books, classics and sutras, and there is one from Confucius that, you know, if you are being your true and virtuous self without commanding, then everyone will follow the example. But if you are not, you know, exemplifying this good model and virtue, then even if you command and you lecture, people will not listen and follow. So that emphasizes a lot of the inner growth and inner being of a true teacher and master. And also, I believe being a good teacher comes from being a good student, first of all. So any moment I'm still keeping this learner's, like a continuous learning mindset, even when I'm teaching, I am keeping this moment-to-moment self-awareness. How can I relax myself more? How can I be more honest to people, authentic more? How can I just, you know, be more vulnerable and sharing, exposing more? So all of these could be the momentary, you know, awareness and learning. So it's like a sustainable, continuous learning.
So beautiful.
That is, it's incredible. Yeah. And today, Uranio and I just finished the second of two 4-day retreats that we've done here in China so far. And we just had an amazing experience with your students. They're so open and so courageous and so willing to do deep inner work. And I have to say, I think it's a sign of the way that you model a dedication to this work and also humility and sincerity. So we really appreciate the work that you do and that you are partnering with us and inviting us in to work with the amazing people in your school.
Yeah. And also thank you to teachers and masters very much for one is providing further growth to our students and community, and also to bringing a high level teaching to our Enneagram school.
And I think it's fair to say that we do work here just as deep as anywhere else, because the students are very ready. And I just want to ask you, do you think that there was, at least in the beginning, too many cultural differences that between us, from like an American, a Brazilian, teaching in China? Was there any cultural adaptation needed? Or especially, did people find me, for instance, weird or different?
Well, that's not necessarily cultural.
Okay,
the
yes.
Weirdness.
So, yeah, how was it? And what were the funny things that happened?
就是我们教学啊是越来越融合哈这个但是在最一开始我们在合作的时候您有没有感觉到过 比如说一位来自美国一位来自巴西的 just one thing like left an impression on me was I think in the first few retreats you know for Chinese or Chinese culture when we are feeling sad then we're you know deep in the sadness and then gradually like we resume to normal. But for Brazil kind of culture is like deep sadness and then very quickly soon like deep happiness and cheer up. And then in the beginning students didn't know what to do about this teacher or teaching, but then they catch up and adapt.
Yes.
With the Brazilian, it very quickly becomes a party all of a sudden.
Yeah.
在中国很少有这样的 party.
Yeah, and a very seldom party like that in China.
One day we could have a whole podcast episode on funny things that happened in China and in different places.
Yes.
And, but we are so appreciative of the opportunity that we have to teach with you and your students here.
Yeah, I just have one more question myself for my part, because I think I'm interested and I think others will be interested to know anything else you can tell us about, you know, how and where the Enneagram is spreading in China. Like, what's the appeal? Are there certain areas of society that are really interested in it? How is it spreading, and what might be interesting for people to know about the Enneagram in China?
And it's mainstream in China.
And again, is it more mainstream? You know, you mentioned it's not as popular as MBTI, but how is it spreading, and what areas of society, and what do you see?
我想这些搞笑的哈，好玩的趣事。I would say for self-knowledge, understanding, and therefore in the growth, in the market, there are usually three levels. The first level, most superficial is, as we all know, people will say astrology. Yeah, what's your star sign? And then the middle layer is more the MBTI and DISC, and people use those typology to know their type and maybe more like patterns of behavior. But only like the modality like Enneagram can really help us to go, we call it, you know, down of the iceberg, the inner awareness of the triggers and patterns and mechanism that really helps this person's self-knowledge and growth. So I say proportion-wise, it's like in China, 1 billion people know about astrology, star sign. And then the 10% knows about the middle level, the MBTI and typology. And then just 1% of that, which means like 10 million
people.
people will know and into Enneagram. So Enneagram is more aiming at inner growth and self-growth. So some of the Enneagram application could be on like a career, business, team synergy like I did in the first stage, but more it's inner growth.
So would people like say in universities, or is it more people who just are looking for self-development in daily life that would be, you know, sort of general people just wanting to live a better life?
Both.
Interesting.
And Teacher Gao, we are heading to the end of our episode, and I want to ask you to say a word to our podcast listeners who are from all over the world. So you teach in China mostly, but I think it would be good for you to say a word for people from all other countries that are listening to us. What would be your message for them?
So wish everyone that's interested in Enneagram can enjoy a better self and more happy, fulfilling relationship.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Teacher Gao. It's a total pleasure working with you and everyone in your school. And thank you for doing this, having this podcast conversation with us.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. 谢谢.
Thank you. 谢谢.
So that does it for this episode of the Enneagram 2.0 podcast. Join us again next time when we talk about all things Enneagram.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.